this morning, Lindsay versus Walgreen.
May it please the court, my name is Barry Gomberg, counsel. I represent Ms. Lindsay. We are asking the court to find that the granting of the motion for summary judgment should be reversed and that Ms. Lindsay have an opportunity to have a trial in front of the jury. As you know, we rely strongly in our brief upon the idea that the decision maker, in this case Ms. Jenkins, was very strongly influenced in her decision to discharge Ms. Lindsay because of the immediate supervisor, whose name I'm going to have trouble pronouncing, but I call her with respect, Akua, exhibited strong age bias by various comments over a long period of time. And these are obviously material issues of fact. Decision maker, Ms. Jenkins, said that she didn't know about the circumstances that led to her decision to discharge Ms. Lindsay, except by hearing it from Akua. She also didn't know anything about, had no evidence that Akua did anything relative to putting some note in a computer. She couldn't find that information to indicate that Akua, in fact, did that. She didn't contact the doctor to find out whether or not the doctor, in fact, had been contacted by Akua. She didn't look at the information in the fluconazole drug itself, which is what we all get when we get a medication. There's information in there, which Ms. Lindsay looked at to determine whether there was a problem in dispensing the fluconazole. She didn't talk to Ms. Lindsay to find out what happened. So we're strongly suggesting that Ms. Jenkins was totally influenced in making her decision, even finding out about the incident, about her immediate subordinate, who was, in fact, Ms. Lindsay's direct supervisor. And there are many, many comments made by Ms. Akua regarding age bias. And in fact, even shortly after Akua, shortly after, Akua notified Jenkins of the supposed violation of Walgreens policy, she was making age-biased comments, which are obviously disputed by the defendant, but these are material issues of fact.
Yes, Your Honor. Clarification on one point. In your view, the decision-maker was not able to tell whether the medication had been dispensed without the physician's, without consulting the physician. Is that right?
The only information she had, Your Honor, was what Akua told her. That's correct. In other words, the physician gave the prescription to the patient for fluconazole, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and the Akua said there was something wrong with that when she looked up on it in conjunction with another drug that the patient was taking. And she said she called the doctor about it. And she also said that she told Ms. Lindsay about it. Those are disputed facts. The only information that Ms. Jenkins had at the time was what Akua told her and whatever she saw on the Walgreens screen about the problem
with
the drug.
Does Ms. Lindsay maintain that she called the doctor about it?
No. That was Akua, her immediate supervisor. Ms. Lindsay never called the doctor.
And she dispensed the medication even though there was a conflict between this medication and the simvastatin.
Well, actually, that's partly correct. But what Ms. Lindsay did was she looked at the insert that the drug manufacturer provides and said there was improbable harm to the patient. So she exercised, which Walgreens fosters in their policies and practices, she exercised her professional judgment. What she testified in her deposition is Walgreens set such a high standard almost all the time in their instructions to pharmacists that pharmacists, if they didn't exercise their professional judgment, they would never be able to dispense medication. So that they do foster in the pharmacist the ability to make their own judgment, which Lindsay did. She researched it based on the package insert, and obviously she was a pharmacist for many years, and also based on what the patient told her. The patient was severely suffering. That's what Ms. Lindsay testified to, and she felt she had no choice based on her research and the patient suffering. Plus, she had a physician who actually gave a prescription. So she wasn't questioning, as a pharmacist, she wasn't questioning the doctor. She wasn't questioning the manufacturer who said this is okay to give to the patient. And she was talking to the patient. And our point is that Ms. Jenkins didn't do anything of any substance other than talk to Ms. Akua about this. And she never even asked Lindsay. She just fired her. So, Your Honor, based on that theory alone, we strongly suggest that the motion for summary judgment, the granting of it, be reversed.
Thank you, counsel.
All right.
Ms. Linder?
May it please the court. My name is Laura Linder, and I represent the Appellee Walgreen Company. What counsel was referring to in his argument before you is what the court has recognized as the cat's paw doctrine. The record here does not establish that Ms. Bampo-Aji had any influence, any material influence, over the termination decision, and certainly not the singular influence that this court has held in Staub versus Proctor Hospital, Martino versus MCI Communications, is required when trying to rely on this cat's paw doctrine. What the record shows is Ms. Bampo-Aji merely reported the incident that led to Ms. Lindsay's termination. She told Ms. Jenkins, her supervisor, that this drug had been dispensed, notwithstanding the fact that a drug interaction warning had popped up in the system and a call had been placed to the patient's doctor. There's certainly nothing questionable, nothing suspicious about the fact that Ms. Bampo-Aji would bring this to the attention of her boss, Ms. Jenkins. It makes perfect sense. She would tell her because a patient's health is potentially at risk due to the dispensing of medication by the pharmacy that Ms. Bampo-Aji managed. And indeed, but for the fact that Ms. Bampo-Aji alerted Ms. Jenkins to this, Ms. Jenkins probably would never have even known of the incident. And this court has recognized in the Staub case and others that a decision maker in this context doesn't need to be what the court refers to as the paragon of independence. Because as a practical matter, decision makers routinely have to rely on information from subordinates in making decisions about incidents that they're removed from. And this case is no different. Ms. Jenkins was the district supervisor of a number of Walgreens pharmacies, including the Western Avenue store that Ms. Lindsay worked at. And so she wouldn't have been present and is not monitoring the day-to-day dispensing of medication by that store. So it makes perfect sense that Ms. Bampo-Aji would tell her of this incident. What is important to know, apart from alerting Ms. Jenkins to the incident, Ms. Bampo-Aji didn't supply any misinformation to Ms. Jenkins. She didn't tell her anything that was not accurate. You didn't hear counsel say that. Nor did she provide her any material information that would have affected Ms. Jenkins' judgment. Now, after hearing about the incident, Ms. Jenkins did conduct her own independent investigation. She did not make the decision just based on what Ms. Bampo-Aji told her. She went into the Walgreens database. They have this Team RX database that contains a wealth of information about drugs that are dispensed by the pharmacy, when they're dispensed, to whom they're dispensed, a full history of that patient's drug use. She went into that system, and she reviewed the exact information that Ms. Lindsay should have reviewed and would have had available to her when she made this decision. And she reached her own conclusion that Ms. Lindsay acted recklessly when she overrode the drug interaction warning and dispensed medication that potentially put the patient's health at risk in a non-emergency situation. This drug was for
so
a
even if so-called professional judgment, quote-unquote, had been used. In Walgreen's view, that was a reckless exercise of professional judgment.
That's correct, Judge.
And that was the cause of the discharge.
That was the cause of the discharge. And on that point, we think Ms. Lindsay is trying to do what this court has routinely cautioned courts against, which is caution or question Walgreen's business judgment. It's Walgreen's decision to decide what risk they want to put potential customers, potential patients, at what risk they're willing to take. And they say, look, in this instance, it's a non-emergency situation. Call the doctor. Get more information before you make this decision. And it's important to note that Ms. Lindsay did not call the patient. She admitted that. The record does not establish that. She came into the pharmacy at 2 o'clock that day, and by 2:38, she put the note in the system dispensing this medication. So she couldn't have done much research on her own. She did not call the patient. She did not attempt to call the patient's doctor to get any information knowing about this interaction. Now, this court has made clear that when a decision maker, as in this case, Ms. Jenkins, engages in this independent type of investigation, that weighs heavily against any kind of finding of excessive influence by a subordinate, even if that subordinate may have some sort of bias. So it's our view that no reasonable jury could possibly conclude that Ms. Jenkins was the cat's paw, so to speak, of Ms. Bonfouagie, and that Ms. Bonfouagie used Ms. Jenkins to get her fired. With respect to the investigation, counsel has suggested that Ms. Jenkins didn't do a thorough investigation. Again, the record shows she reviewed the information that Ms. Lindsay would have had available to her. Yes, Ms. Jenkins did not question Ms. Lindsay. She did not separately call the doctor. But the record doesn't establish any reason to do so. Ms. Lindsay, there's no question that Ms. Lindsay dispensed this medication. There's no dispute about that. She made that decision. There's also no question as to the information that was in the system that Ms. Jenkins could review. She could see the exact same information Ms. Lindsay had, and that's what she reviewed. And Ms. Lindsay does not point to anything that might have changed Ms. Jenkins' mind. She doesn't say, well, if she interviewed me, I would have told her this, and maybe she would have changed her mind. Or if she had talked to the doctor would have told her something else, and therefore she would have made a different decision. There's no evidence that any further investigation was necessary or that it would have made a difference. In addition to that, as this court has made clear in the Kariotis versus Navistar decision in other cases, when a plaintiff is trying to challenge an investigation and say it's inadequate and it creates an issue of fact, there has to be evidence that the employer would have conducted a different investigation if the employee had not been in the protected class. And in this case, there's absolutely no evidence that Ms. Jenkins would have conducted a different investigation had the employee who had dispensed this particular drug been substantially younger than Ms. Lindsay. So unless the panel has any further questions, we rest on our brief and ask that the district court's decision be affirmed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to make some point based on what the counsel said. Not necessarily in the order of importance, but first of all, Ms. Jenkins would not have known about the incident at all if Akua didn't bring it up. Secondly, Akua did allege facts, disputed facts. It's not as though we're saying she provided false information. We're saying she didn't provide the information. These are disputed facts as to what she did. She says, I told Ms. Lindsay about it. She said, I called the doctor. She said a number of things. Those are disputed. So she's telling Jenkins, Ms. Jenkins, information that are disputed, whether she ever even said that to Ms. Jenkins. Here, it's not Walgreens' business judgment that's at question. It's Ms. Jenkins' judgment about Ms. Lindsay and whether or not Ms. Jenkins would have taken this action except for the fact that she got this information from Akua, who was clearly making age-biased comments, tolerated age-biased comments over an extended period of time, even on the day of the incident. Ms. Lindsay determined on her own that there was a very severe yeast infection. She didn't just do this out of the blue, as counsel was suggesting. She had information from the patient on how she was suffering. The patient was never harmed. I'm not sure how relevant it is, but the point is there's no harm to the patient alleged in this matter at all. Ms. Jenkins, it's clear, did not look at the package insert from the pharmacy manufacturer. That would have been exactly what she should have looked at if she did an investigation that was truly independent, if she had talked to Ms. Lindsay, because Ms. Lindsay based her decision largely on the manufacturer's insert that said there's no problem providing this medication. So if Ms. Jenkins had done that, she would have said, oh, now I understand why Ms. Lindsay did that. She didn't do that. She didn't even ask Ms. Lindsay. It was not a reckless policy or action by Ms. Lindsay. She did what she was supposed to do. There was no policy at Walgreens, it's undisputed, that she had to call a doctor. That was up to her. Walgreens, Ms. Jenkins testified that she wasn't required to call a doctor. Ms. Lindsay wasn't required to call a doctor. She could use her professional judgment. And that's mainly the points I wanted to provide. Thank you, Your Honors, for taking the time, and I hope that the motion for summary judgment granting by the lower court could be reversed. Thank you very much.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.